Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Lumos. Hello, friends, and welcome to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful. History of Magic Professor, the Final Wizard, obviously. Yours, truly. Me, please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year. This year, excuse me, Triwizard Champion herself, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hello, and einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Welcome to episode 84, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week, we will talk about Chapter 5, Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed our brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chapter summary audio experience. And it says on my doc, write a transition into cottage ketchup, and for some reason, I didn't do that.
Oh, that was pretty. So. You're getting smooth, though. That was smooth because you didn't have a thing.
Who needs a transition?
You didn't blank out. You rolled with it. Sometimes you have to just make a little bit of a funny, you know, a little funny, and then move right into something less funny or more funny.
I can share with you guys. I know it's on the less funny side, but I can share with you guys my new favorite drink.
Yes.
And it's not that new, but I've got... And so used to just hot chocolate. It's sugar free. You guys know we try to
eat someone healthy. try to.
Even though I wouldn't mind some of that homemade strawberry ice cream that they ate at the Burrow today.
True.
But I am amazed how now I really drink it and I like it sugar free, and it's a lot like coffee, right? It's bitter, a little bit bitter, and I used to only drink it in the combination with dates. So the dates gave me the sweetness and the hot cocoa gave me the bitterness, and it was just a good combination. Yeah. Much like you have tea and coffee with something sweet.
Right.
But yesterday I had to throw all our dates out.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing was moldy.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes it helps. If you're trying to get rid of a little
habit.
Date addiction
yeah.
And you have a whole package full of rotten dates, and you're like, I'm good for a little bit.
Remember when I used to eat one or two dates?
Oh, I know.
Back in the day.
It hit the spot, but then it turned into four or five.
I mean, 2 months ago, we started really getting dates and saying, you know what, let's try. And we were like, okay, we'll have two. And I think every day since then, I'm up to 10.
No, you're not.
Not really. I'm just kidding. Gosh, I could have so many. Five,
six. They're so good.
You know?
They're like nature's candy, but still, they're still candy.
So. Well, then why can't we have some honey? We just need to go get some more honey and start trickling on all of our food.
You know, the trick is have like a big family and cook a lot of food, and then you have to share anyway, and share it in the best way out in the garden in the summertime. Can I say I love this chapter?
Yes, you can say that. It's a wonderful chapter.
I'm not
going
to say it's the best chapter ever, even though I want to, but...
Guys, this is... I mean it this time. I mean it. This is the best one.
I'm committed now.
Okay? You guys hold me to this, okay?
Anyway. So, what's going on in your life?
Well, okay. So, we record this on a Sunday. You guys will probably hear this. We drop it on a Wednesday. Maybe you'll be hearing it a year from now, and I'd like to recall you to a... What?
Sorry, I thought like a year from now, you think I can't post it until a year from
Wait,
now?
Sorry.
Until
I under, like, year until later, I was Lottie like, finally got this up
oh,
there for you guys.
Oh, yeah, you know. You're not always.
I sometimes speak
right
to
away.
The future, and yeah. I sometimes
no, that's smart.
Speak to the past. Okay, there is. Why don't you stop speaking and, you know.
Yeah, don't forget what you wanted to say.
No, what I wanted to say is that we have on Monday, which will be tomorrow, we have a solar eclipse going down. Are you ready for this? So it's been calculated that on average, a total solar eclipse is seen from the same place only once every 375 years. So that path, that band of the eclipse will move. Like, we may see it sooner than that 375, but it will be either further south or further north or something. I don't really know. Again.
So right now, it's a lot of land that's getting hit at the same time. Normally, they say it's a lot of water that we'll see that. Like, you're out in the ocean when no one can really see it from that place, right?
Really?
I think that, that's what I heard.
I didn't take astronomy. Sorry. I didn't take it.
Me neither. I mean, we should, though. Yeah, astronomy is a subject in Hogwarts.
Okay.
Professor Sinistra, I think, is
the... Okay, let's go. There you go. Trivia question. Okay. The greatest possible duration of a total solar eclipse is about 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Ding, ding. 7 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool. But that's going to be going down. We did buy our glasses.
And a companion little booklet thing.
Because we're teachers.
Teach us more about the solar eclipse.
Please tell us more about it. We want
some
more facts.
We haven't read it yet. In fact, it was the only way to get glasses because they're sold out here. It's the Sunday before, and the only way to get glasses at Kroger was to buy the booklet.
Yeah, which is fine.
Comes with two glasses.
Because they're sold out everywhere.
That's
so
fine, though.
The temperature can drop 20 degrees or more during a total solar eclipse. Get your jacket.
Wow. Just during the time when it's the total, like...
Quick drop.
Wow.
Now, this is just a random website I pulled up here called nationaleclipse.com.
Okay.
So, I don't know if how accurate this stuff is. I just thought it'd be kind of fun because that's coming up, you know what I mean? So
I think it's fascinating. Some people are, you know, eclipse hunters, and they will film and experience the eclipse and try to travel to the places where it's happening next.
Oh, yeah, true. That's pretty
cool. Awesome. I think that's cool.
Now, here we go. The sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but it's also 400 times further away.
Can you imagine 400 times larger than the moon?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine, really.
Unless they mean the Earth there. I don't know. But yeah, moon, I guess. So yeah, I don't know. But that's what it's saying here. This makes a total solar eclipse possible due to the apparently identical size of the sun and moon in the sky.
Isn't that wild?
It's
400
exact.
And 400, like a distance, 400 times, and the size. What? How? What are the odds?
What are the odds? Never tell me the odds. That's what they say in Star Wars. Never tell me the odds. It seems pretty artificially placed in our sky, you guys. Okay, so I'm just saying. Sorry about that. Okay, moving on. But yeah, we have a solar eclipse coming up. It's gonna be. It'd be cool. We're not really gonna drive anywhere, are we? To go see it? I think we're just gonna chill.
I think we're in the zone? I think
we're on the
verge, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll see. We'll see, guys. We'll see. So anyways, you probably saw it. If you heard this on Wednesday and you're like, where are they going to see it? I need to pull up the full sort of map here. I wonder if anybody else is in the path. If you were in the path of that and got to see it, I guess send us a message. But yeah, I know that a lot of people are driving north or driving south to see it and get into the path. And I don't know. I feel like, is it going to do something to our circadian rhythms? Like, are we going to be thrown off because...
If you lock yourself into a dark room for 8 minutes, it's not going to do anything to your rhythm.
Are you sure? Because I never do that. Okay, moving on. So how are things with you at the cottage, at the burrow?
Wonderful, because I got to clean up all of it yesterday. And I don't know if you guys know, but I got a pretty nice setup now. I've been getting into... making your desk look nice. And
yes,
yesterday I tackled the big task of cable management. Oh, it's not my favorite, but once you're done and it looks all clean underneath the desk, it's so nice. And you weren't even aware of how much foot space you have down there.
Yeah, really, right? Now we can get the vacuum cleaner down there and we can sweep up when we need to. Also, we have what do you call it? It's a little heater.
Yeah, so like we have a electric heater down there. Behind.
Right.
So we got to be careful with the cable. So now
dangerous. Remember that time I played Hogwarts Legacy and almost burnt the... You remember that?
I think Angelina remembers that too because
oh
she was live.
Gosh, I had this...
there with us.
I was going to do like a little bit of a stream, a little hangout or something on our YouTube channel. And I thought I'd pop on there for like five seconds. It sparked.
Yes. We saw sparks. Sparks.
It was just like crazy.
The cable got into the heating unit.
Who did that?
I don't know.
Me? Wow. Anyway, so cable management is important. We know from experience, and it's taken us a long time to get to this point, but the cables are managed. If you guys only knew how many cables there were for this small little operation here
alone. I'm not even, I mean, I don't even have a lot of items.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know how people do it who have tons of little lamps and more keyboards and another mouse and another monitor and
another phone charger and this and that. Yeah.
So my cable management is like level one.
Right. It can be intense. So I have a lot going on with the combination of the webcams and the microphones, the Zoom, the extra audio interface that I run over here and just what have you. It's a little crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, all right, so nothing, anything else?
Nothing major going on, just cable.
Pretty chill.
kind of boring.
Pretty chill, you guys.
Kind of langweilig.
Yeah, it's just, you know, but das ist mein Lieblings time thing.
Yeah.
It's just boring. How do you say that? Yeah.
Mein Lieblings ding thing. Ding is thing.
Oh, okay, I was close.
we can make it a little more interesting, though. By asking each other some really hard trivia questions.
Oh, I got one for you. Are we ready to go? Are we going right into it? Ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm. Let the trivia begin.
Aren't you going to do that as a sound effect? That's right. Yeah. Okay. A little redundant. You want to go ahead and ask you mine?
Yes.
First? Okay. What broom did Madame Hooch fly when she was a student? You thought I wasn't going to bring the heavy. You know, I've been going easy on you. I've been going way easy on you. Big time. And I'll let you off with that.
Did you know the answer to the question before looking it up?
I didn't think that's what we're supposed to do. I thought we were just supposed to.
Because I have a pretty easy question for you, but that's okay.
You got to tell. I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. It's what did fair you ask and
me
square.
Last week, what did you ask
fair
me?
Fair and square.
You asked me something really hard last week, I think. Yeah, it was
something. What did I ask
exactly,
you?
Exactly. Yeah. Mine was pretty easy. It was a shop, you know.
Yeah, you wanted the full name, though.
Right. Yeah, well, it's okay.
A clean sweep.
I'll just tell you what. It's not a clean sweep. I'll give you one clue here. It matches the color of her hair a little bit. All right.
White,
the name
gray,
of the broom.
Gray, white.
Right, which could kind of look like...
The moon?
Which would be... what color could we call the moon?
Silver arrow
broom.
Aren't you at least proud that when you said silver, I knew silver arrow was one of them because we did an extra episode about brooms.
Yes, yeah, you did a great. Yeah,
that's good. What's your model number? Or what's
that's just
arrow?
It. They're just called the silver arrow broomstick. So the super silver arrow. What
I mean, it's definitely not a point, but thanks for helping me out.
Yeah.
I feel at least a little bit accomplished that I knew the silver.
No, that was a tough one. All right, I need to know next time that we're...
No, it's fine.
Okay.
So...
I'm probably going to get the easy one wrong, so...
My question is, why did...
Boy.
Percy have to write a report about cauldrons? What was the problem?
The cauldrons that they were importing from foreign countries, the regulation for the thickness in those countries did not meet the standard.
Wow.
In the UK. So they needed a thicker cauldron, right? I'm all in favor of a good thick cauldron. So when that thickness is, it can cause a lot of problems.
You read the chapter.
Let's go.
I'm sure.
It can cause a lot of problems.
Good. And we're going to talk about Percy and his report later. And Ron's reaction to it. And the Weasleys,
twins'
reaction.
And some of his top secret information because, you know, I mean, now he's working for Mr. Crouch. And
that's true. That
you know, he's got a lot. He's got a lot going on. He's got a lot of responsibility. So I really do. It surprises me that he is there also at the borough with everybody at this time, and not in his own office. I guess he's working on the weekend, isn't he? It's the weekend, so that makes sense.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a Sunday, and he's still working.
We're still in trivia.
Go Percy. Yes.
We're still in trivia.
Second trivia question, as you guys know, is from the batch of cards. and we have no idea what's coming. So what is your color?
Blue.
Blue. A member of which schoolhouse is in favor of handing Harry over to Voldemort just before the Battle of Hogwarts?
A Slytherin.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Slytherin.
Of course.
Of course it is.
Doesn't say who it
Come
was.
On.
Who was it?
Who was it? Does it say that?
No, but we're not going to... You got your point.
From the movie, wasn't it Pansy Parkinson?
Yeah. Was it her in the book, though?
Don't know.
Probably.
Probably was.
Okay, here you go. I'm going to roll the die.
Okay.
Purple.
Purple, purple, purple. Here
Lila.
We go. Oh, boy, that's the answer. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
We never get any of the hard questions.
Did you shuffle these?
No. Wait, did you take another card?
No. What is used to destroy the Horcrux cup? Yeah.
What, so.
What is used to destroy the Horcrux cup?
The cup. They definitely use the sword. That's a good question. So they definitely use the sword for the locket. Do they use the sword again for the cup? Wow.
Tough.
They didn't use Nagini's thingy until later. The basilisk tooth until later. Ooh, snap. But was there anything else they could use? They only were able to use the sword and the the tooth. So
right,
I'm going to go with the sword then.
It was the fang.
What?
So
they already had the fang?
In the movie, they go down. This is movie trivia. You have to remember. So I don't know if it's the same in the book, but they go down to the Chamber of Secrets, and the skeleton of the basilisk.
And they have the cup the whole time?
Yeah.
They didn't destroy the cup until then?
They kept it with them.
Wow. I forgot.
Didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so they, because they get the cup right at Gringotts, and then they go directly to, so, and they're without the sword because Griphook took it. Right, and so he
couldn't destroy it.
It disappeared,
yeah.
And then Neville, if you get a chance, and kill the snake when you get a chance, sword appears.
Right, he
to
was
Gryffindor.
Yeah, that was the next time the sword appeared. True. But I didn't think they would keep they kept the cup the whole time. Yeah,
yep.
So they destroyed the cup, the diadem at the same time.
Pretty much. I mean, like, yeah, Ron and Hermione run down to the Chamber of Secrets, and they find a basilisk fang. Like, from the skeleton of the old basilisk that Harry killed in book two.
Yeah.
And they popped that bad boy, that little fang off there, and still got a little venom, I guess, in it. And they
I remember. I just didn't know it was used to destroy the cup. Good.
Boom. Yeah.
That was... See? There's one of the hard
there's,
questions.
That's a good... Yep.
That's good. Okay, let's see. So we are on the same...
Update the totals
so
here.
Last time... So what do you want me to do, though? So we have... First time we had 2-2-2. Then we had 2-1. For B, now we have 1-2. Do you want me to count the points, or do you want me to count like, okay, the first one, no one gets a point. The second one, I get 1 point.
Either one. Yeah.
Because if you
total, I mean, it really, if it's
or
like
the total,
yeah, it's just like if I'm up, if I have 10 correct and you have 12 correct,
so it does matter if you have 2 correct and then you get you advance 2 points in total.
Okay. Yeah,
that's the only thing. Okay. So that means 4-3 for Lottie. Now it is 5-5.
5-5. Let's go. Yep. Tied up, friends.
Back to being tied.
Place your bets, by the way. By the end of this book, we'll see who wins. And if you back Ez, you get a prize. So feel free to send me some hard trivia questions. DM me. Let me know.
I will find out.
Okay. All
good,
right.
Pretty good.
Yep. Awesome.
Yep. Awesome.
Awesome job, guys. Good job, Ez and Lottie. Way to go.
Now, do you want me to read our long...
Yes.
I mean, this summary is long for this short chapter, but I just enjoyed getting all the details in, so sorry. I can read it if you want me to.
I would love you to read it.
Yes? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 5. Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. When Harry pops out of the fireplace at the Burrow, 5 red-haired Weasley boys are awaiting him in the small kitchen. Of course, Fred, George, and Ron immediately want to know if Dudley ate the tongue toffee that Fred had dropped. All of them break out into laughter when Harry confirms that his cousin had indeed consumed some of the twins' magic candy and grown a huge purple tongue. Then Harry gets introduced to the other 2 Weasley brothers. He's never actually met them before because they are older and have already graduated from Hogwarts. First, Harry shakes the hand of Charlie, who works with dragons in Romania, and then Bill, who is a curse breaker for Gringotts. Before they get a chance to talk more, however, Mr. Weasley apparates into the kitchen. He's quite angry with Fred and George for playing such a prank on the Dursleys. After all, the Muggles don't know how fast wizards can shrink back tongues to a normal size. But Mr. Weasley's anger is nothing compared to his wife's fury, who happens to enter the kitchen right that second, followed by Hermione and Ginny. Mrs. Weasley has had it with Fred and George this summer. Before she can unleash her rage on not just the twins, but all of them, Hermione gives Ron a little nudge that they should go upstairs and show Harry where he will be sleeping. On their way up the stairs, Ginny and Ron explain to Harry that Fred and George have been in a lot of trouble for planning to sell their self-made joke products at school. As they pass by Percy's room, the brand new ministry employee pokes his head out to ask them about the turmoil down in the kitchen. He seems rather annoyed as he's trying to focus on a report for his boss, Mr. Crouch, who he's totally obsessed with. When they finally reach Ron's bedroom at the top of the stairs, they can hear Mrs. Weasley shouting in the kitchen. She must have found out about the Dudley incident. Ron's tiny owl, Pigwidgeon, greets them excitedly when the four enter the room. The friends get some time to relax and catch up before dinner. The trio is careful not to mention Sirius in front of Ginny, even though Ron almost lets it slip one time. It is again Hermione who covers up Ron's long, awkward pause by suggesting they all go back downstairs to help with supper. Mrs. Weasley is not in the best mood. She makes a lot of noise with the dishes and pots because she's worried about Fred and George's pranks. She's scared they might get caught one day by the improper use of magic office. Ron and Harry realize it might be best to carry some plates outside to get away from Molly's kitchen rage. Outside, they find Charlie and Bill having a battle with the two dinner tables they're supposed to set up in the garden. Cheered on by Fred and George, they keep smashing the hovering tables into one another. The fun ends when Percy yells at them through his window to be quiet. With just a swish of their wands, Bill and Charlie repair the broken tables and dinner is set up in no time. Harry is in heaven. He hasn't had a home-cooked meal in weeks, let alone such a good one. And soon everyone is enjoying some merry conversations. Percy is totally fanboying over Mr. Crouch and mentions one of his co-workers, Bertha Jorkins, who mysteriously disappeared in Albania. Charlie and the twins, on the other hand, discuss the Quidditch World Cup. Everyone's excited about the final match between Ireland and Bulgaria. Later, Percy casually hints at another big but very secret event right after the World Cup. While everyone else is busy eating and chatting, Ron asks Harry in a whisper if he's heard from Sirius this summer. Harry confirms he's been in touch, but he doesn't go into detail why he's been writing to his godfather in the first place. He's feeling too happy and content and doesn't want to dive into his worries about his scar hurting at the moment. They finish dinner with some delicious homemade ice cream and enjoy the buzzing sounds of the lively summer garden as the sun is slowly setting. Then Mrs. Weasley announces that it's time to go to bed since they've got a very early start the next day.
Oh, boy. Can I just tell you that I remember a time when we had these get-togethers, the Sunday dinners, and you go out, you put the... I mean, there's so many people coming over that you actually have to move outside on a Sunday. My mom would, like, host this big thing. And we'd have tons of food, people from church coming over, people from the community, friends, family, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, literally, I think I can remember Sundays where we had 20, 30, 40 people. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And so it's crazy. And this sort of reminds me of that because, again, there's too many people to fit inside the burrow. They're going to go outside. And it's just, it's nice out. Harry's enjoying this moment where it's the first, I mean, meal that he's had since probably Hogwarts. That's like really home cooked and good, and you know, so it's through his eyes, all of the feels are here, and it just reminds me of my own sort of childhood with those outdoor meals where you had like a lawn chair, you'd go inside, get your food, go out, sit down. People would play cornhole, they'd play badminton, they'd play whatever, volleyball sometimes, and it just felt good. And you were the sun was shining, blue skies.
It's nothing to worry about, right?
Yeah, cool breeze, some birds chirping, maybe some cats chasing gnomes in the backyard.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's beautiful. This chapter is just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very Hobbity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very Hobbity. Very
like,
Hobbity.
You feel like you're in the Shire with them. What's cool is... I forgot that in this chapter, we actually meet Bill and Charlie for the first time.
Hello. What's going on, cool guy?
right? The cool guy and the Quidditch slash dragon guy.
Right.
It's pretty cool and sad that, I mean, we hope that hopefully mm-hmm. in the show they will include Bill and Charlie, both of them.
Yeah, this early
earlier on.
Right, yeah. right.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would. Just go ahead and cast somebody, give them a few different roles, even if it's like later on Charlie's just, we see him more dealing with the dragons and stuff, or we see Bill do something, or Bill's in the background, you know, flirting with Fleur. Wow, there you go.
Right.
That's a whole show in of itself right there. That's a good title. Flirting with Fleur. Wow. Fleur flirts. Wow. Anyway, but yeah, I hope they do that, because it's really cool to see all the Weasleys gathered here, to know that the older ones, they get their rooms back and everybody else has to kind of roll into Ron's room, and Percy gets his room because he's working for the government, for crying out loud. Top secret documents in there.
I mean,
that's a crazy thing, by the way. I mean, not that they are that top secret, but the fact that at the borough we'd be bringing home some government reports, and they're getting written there, and they're being taken into official records in the Ministry of Magic. Just kind of funny to think about.
It's kind of cool, and I don't like how they treat Percy, but we'll get to that later. It's also a way of Mrs. Weasley saying, you know, Percy's made it. He's this, just like Bill, this picture perfect son who became a prefect, who went on to the ministry, got a good job, and he's working hard. And
bless him.
It's like, okay, here you go, guys. This is, if you want your own room, you have to do this.
Right.
I mean, they have their own rooms, but like in this case, Percy gets rewarded for his very prestigious job.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's true. So when you look at from Molly's perspective, they all went and did their, even though Bill, I mean, went and did something different, Bill and Charlie seemed to have taken their own path. I did this short a while back where I was talking about the Weasleys being poor and not having a lot of, you know, wealth or money, right? But then they really measure their wealth and their well-being and the well-being of their children and the path they took. They just sort of invested in really what they wanted to do, and they it may not have been lucrative or whatever, but they were fine with that. And I think it's really evident in this chapter, because they just enjoy, it seems like they enjoy their life so much. And I think of Malfoy Manor sometimes, and I wonder, are they having the same sort of excitement, or is it more of a cold, bitter type of, you know, eve before the Quidditch match? Or are they also excited and things that we just they put on a face to go out into the world and be. Because I wonder, you know, sometimes we're at home, your guard comes down, you take your mask off, and you're really in with your person doing your thing. But we do have to go out there and, I don't know, interact with a bunch of other people with different motivations and different desires and interests and whatnots. And yeah, I don't know. It's just so weird to think about those two very different families.
Yes. It's hard to imagine the Malfoys, you know, with a big, like a big family dinner. Warm, cozy, outside in the garden. It feels like they would more have something like a cocktail party where everyone would
show off what they're wearing or their possessions, or talk about their
wealth,
their gains, that they've made and stuff. So
almost like where they compare each other, and kind of reminds me of Star Wars. I don't know why, Star Wars, where Leia talks to all these other kids that are also probably senators' kids,
right. I love that you are bringing in a Kenobi reference.
Yeah.
Well done.
And she's just like, I'm just who I am. Leave me alone. I don't need to put on a face here.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's hard to do. I mean, it's hard to do that, actually. And so nice to see. Because I guess when we meet Bill, we meet Charlie, you can just see how authentic they are. Mm. And I really think, though, that Percy is also genuine.
Absolutely.
I think he genuinely likes this and wants to do this and is fascinated by government and everything, and it may be a big bore to all of them, but he loves it, and he sees an importance in making sure that we have, that cauldrons are regulated and that their thickness is it's important.
And the way Ron just laughs it off, come on, this is boring, who cares? But if we don't watch what happens, if we don't have these regulations in a few years, he's right, like maybe students at Hogwarts will have some accidents because the cauldrons were too thin.
Yeah, sure. There could be a lot.
They were leaking, and leaking onto your pet rat or Trevor
or then
your foot.
The money that it takes to replace all of them, right? If they all come in and everybody bought new ones and whatever. It's just the idea that he loves what he's doing and he's passionate about that, and he's being made fun of. And ironically, it's one of those, like, in the Malfoy household, it's like Percy's aspirations and this growth into a ministry position would be kind of like, well done. Actually, even the Malfoys, I think, would look at the Weasleys and say, Percy's on the right track.
Yeah.
Versus everyone else in that family is sort of like making fun of him.
Well, except, yeah, for Mr. and Mrs. Weasley.
Right. Like, exactly. Exactly.
Great. But everyone else is, mocking him.
The weird thing is, I think because of the mockery of his younger and sometimes even his older siblings, I think he goes far above and beyond to try to really prove himself and show, like, look, I'm even, like, you guys respect Dad, right? Dad works at the ministry, and I even have a more prestigious job than him. It's got more respect and reputation and whatever from other wizards in our community, and you guys still don't respect me. And I think it's like, wow, there's, on both sides, he's mistreated.
Yes,
he is mistreated this whole time. I've never seen him really...
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come off and be the one started. I mean, he's a little pompous and braggadocious a little bit or whatever, but I think we didn't see the beginnings of that. And I think the beginnings of that are because he's picked on and he's laughed at and he's made fun of. And it's just sort of like, well, we're getting compared to Molly's comparing the twins to Percy all the time. And they're like, Percy, what? Are you kidding me? So then it creates this animosity between them a little bit that's going to be healed later on.
Right. The family dynamics are very interesting. I mean, we do think of the Weasleys at this point in time of a very wholesome, very loving family, but they have their own issues. And I mean, Fred and George, who are not meeting the family expectations of, you know, they don't want to go on work at the ministry. They didn't get as many OWLs. Mm-hmm, Molly is a little mad about that. And they have this dream. They love making joke products that are really, really probably hard to make, and they experiment a lot.
Right.
And the problem is they're dangerous. So and I think that is really Molly's biggest problem. But she goes on all the time. I mean, throughout their school years, she's been reprimanding them for being, you know, the way they are with people.
Yeah.
And it's created this counter reaction, like you said, towards Percy to mock him. We have to, because we're not getting the love we want or the praise we want from our mother, we need to now pull you down because you're getting it. And this is kind of like, I don't know, I feel like it's a counter reaction to that.
Yeah.
You don't see what we do and want to do as valuable.
Yeah. So one thing I notice as a teacher, like I have a lot of students who have different career paths, and I help students who, you know, maybe struggle with reading or writing or something that is language based. They're not really that great at. They either have dyslexia, dysgraphia, etc. And I have a lot of students who are very, very into the arts. They're performers, they're singers, they're dancers, they're athletes. I have a student right now who showed me, this was back around Halloween, all of the makeup and cosmetics, or not cosmetics, what is it called? It's basically, oh gosh, I forget, I'm blanking on the word, but it's like in movies when they do, when like they make the molds for like a mask that the goblins would wear, or that maybe the orcs in Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. And like she could literally make and paint on her face and add in like, I forget what the stuff, the texture that they make, but this little mold, she could extend her nose and made herself into this long, like this witch
character
that she had, like a little mold that she just, and then she smoothed it.
Costume design?
Something like that, and it was brilliant. And she's like, I'm actually really good at this. And then she went on to show me all of these other things where she could do makeup that stretched all the way down her face and down into like her arm that was like bleeding. And it was this gory, you know, crazy thing. And I was like, wow, that looks like something out of a movie.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I know, it's what I want to do. But and she had, I mean, a whole portfolio of her work that she had been working
on.
Cool. But her parents were like, yes, she's good at it, but she needs like a backup. And it's because everyone's nervous and afraid to like let you go for that thing.
Yeah.
Versus if her plan was just to become, let's say, a teacher like me, or to go be an accountant or something, there would be no backup plan.
Right.
They'd be like, no, that's your plan. Go for it. And they would get it. I mean, they would, you set your sights on it and off and running. And it just feels like the Weasleys, so with Fred and George, they have that same thing, this ambition that is outside of the normal, the typical route. And it's so crazy to me because Charlie's a dragon tamer.
Right.
You know?
Very.
And Bill's a curse breaker and stuff, which,
very,
I mean, yeah,
different.
Curse breaker for the bank, cool. Maybe these are more normalized jobs that I don't realize. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe this is something more in the magical community that these are more acceptable. But the joke shop thing is like,
I think also her point is that they're dangerous. The products right now are dangerous. And later on, the way they test them, because I read up a little bit about their shop and how they got started, right? We know that they got started at Hogwarts, basically, as this
testing ground.
But I mean, the thing is, they didn't tell the first graders or second graders they tested this stuff on. They said, yes, we pay them, but they didn't tell them what it will do to them. And Hermione was right to be totally against it.
Right.
Because that is, they say, yes, we tested it on ourselves, but everyone, they are testing if other people
react to it
differently.
Didn't they have them sign a waiver? Did they have them sign?
I think so.
I think they did.
Yeah.
I think they had them sign something that said,
but,
hey,
you know, a little
we're not
first grader who gets free candy and gets paid for it
and gets out of class.
You're like, oh. Give me something to sign. I don't care.
I know. Testing it. I'm just kidding. Can you imagine? I sometimes have this lens of looking at things through the modern day school system.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, you'd be expelled.
Absolutely.
You'd be gone. And parents would be going absolutely wild. Yeah. But this is magical. It's fantastical. Yes. So we can suspend all of that, you know, modern lens.
Yes. And in the end, they were very successful. They even thought about buying, what's the joke shop in Hogsmeade?
Zonko's.
They tried to buy it. We never really learn if they accomplished that, because I think they gave up on it because Hogsmeade visits were forbidden for students at some point, you know, in the seventh book.
Gotcha.
So they didn't see the point of it, because who's going to buy their products?
Oh,
probably
so they
students.
Were going to think about acquiring it. Wow.
They were going to expand.
Businessmen. Wow.
Yes, they are.
Gosh, that's awesome. I mean, now they've expanded all the way to New York City. So they're here in America.
Yeah.
We actually have a little Harry Potter shop over there, and they're on the shelf.
Pretty cool. We still need to go.
We do. Yeah.
But yeah. So I don't think it's okay how they treat Percy. I also don't think it's perfectly well done how Mrs. Weasley, Molly, goes about, you know, the twins' dream.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of completely going against it and saying, you can't do that, you have to get a job at the ministry. And again, I'm not a parent. I can say whatever I want. I don't have the experience, okay? But I would think, if I imagine those were my sons, how could I help them do this safely and in a way, like, well-planned? Okay, how can we set up a plan to do this without harming anyone in the way, really? Without taking a huge risk where you could lose everything and then have nothing in the end?
Yeah.
Like, how can we together, how can I help you make a plan for this? Maybe you do take on a little, you know how I get lost in different thoughts here, but you know how Tom Riddle took on a job, bad example, but he had a plan for something, but to get there he took on a job at Borgin and Burks for a little bit, because this helped him earn some money, earn a living, but also learn something about the thing that he actually wanted to do.
Yeah. Guys, Lottie just went down a dark path there. She just did the parallels between Tom Riddle and
I think
and
they
Fred,
should do what Tom Riddle did. Okay.
Fred and George Weasley. Wow. You guys should really follow his lead on this, because this is... I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. But no, you're right. I mean, that it would have been a longer path to success for them, possibly, because and they were experimenting. They were relatively... They took the major risk on themselves.
Yeah.
Right? And I think... Oh, gosh. And then also, imagine if they weren't sure how to undo some of these things, and there's these weird moments where, like, you don't see Fred and George for a couple of days because they're trying to figure out how to undo like the big tongue situation with like the tongue toffee.
Yeah, they must have tested it. I mean, even though it seems pretty easy to get it back to normal if you know a shrinking charm.
Yeah. But I mean, you don't always know what is going to happen sometimes with the products they think they do, and they then have to I'm just saying, they might disappear for a few days while they figure it out, and they don't want Molly to walk in when they have a tongue
toffee
in their mouth.
Yeah,
right. So I love it, though. I think it's really one of the cool things. It's what's so there's a weird and bizarre but also this chapter, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it captures all of the spirit of home and family and the little bickerings that are also not that serious, but they do, we know they grow into something serious later on. But you just get to see a real look into a wizarding family, and it feels real.
Yes,
it feels
does.
So perfect.
The way
it's like
described,
what? Yeah. I mean, she's the way that Arthur is described when he shows up and he's like, "Wait till I tell your mother."
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, that moment where, and then Molly's like, "Tell me what, dear?" And you're like, I can see that stuff kind of happening. I can see those little moments going on between family members and stuff.
Yes.
So, and then like the little secrecies between friends, between like Ron, Harry, and Hermione, and Jenny's kind of looking between everyone going like, oh, they were about to spill a secret. What's going on? It's just so well written. And it's just like, I think that's why everyone has been so enamored with it. And and the series is so good because it feels relatable.
It's alive, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very descriptive. And I think it's so cool when we come back into the kitchen later. So Harry, Ron, and Ginny and Harry spent some time upstairs together. They talked a little bit about the summer and what everyone's been up to. They try to avoid the topic of Sirius because Ginny doesn't know. None of the other Weasleys know, which I think is crazy. But still a little confused how no one talks about it. I mean, yes, we think Sirius is in another country and now we're all safe.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's like everyone has forgotten about Sirius
Black.
Yeah,
he does come up a few times in the papers and stuff, right?
Yeah. Because
Fudge is still painting him as like anything that bad.
But it's
that
not
happens,
a direct threat anymore to,
no,
to anyone
no.
in Britain. Yeah. Yep.
Right. So I think the raid, right, at the Quidditch World Cup, like, will be in some way sort of related. Isn't it some way related to Sirius Black and then him possibly invigorating the death, the old
really?
Death Eaters. I could be wrong, but it just, I
don't remember at all, to be honest.
My impression is always that Fudge just sort of, anything that even points to darkness or Death Eaters or Voldemort is actually Sirius's fault, because he is on the loose.
Still trying to,
we're
going to
chalk
him.
This up to him,
and
there you go.
Because, I mean, he doesn't think Voldemort will be back at all.
Right, and then we get in a real pickle. We get in a real pickle at the end of this book when it's like,
because he does.
Dumbledore's got to spill the beans and say, "All right, look, you know, Sirius is good.
Yeah,
he's in the Order. Let's go. Let's get a rally the troops here."
Right.
Sorry. All right. Back to our wonderful.
Back to the Burrow.
Back to the Burrow.
I love how we get a little description of Mrs. Weasley's magic cooking and how her mood influences her magic.
Yeah.
And I would like to read this a little. Das, this or that. I don't know.
I would, I would like to read Dash.
Thus, thou. She says, "We're eating out in the garden. There's just not room for 11 people in here. Could you take the plates outside, girls? Bill and Charlie are setting up the tables." That's what she thinks. "Knives and forks, please, you two," she said to Ron and Harry, pointing her wand a little more vigorously than she had intended at a pile of potatoes in the sink, which shot out of their skin so fast that they ricocheted it.
Ricocheted.
Wow, ricocheted. That is definitely not an English.
That's,
original English word.
No.
Off the walls. They ricocheted off the walls and ceiling. "Oh, for heaven's sake," she snapped, now directing her wand at a dustpan, which hopped off the sideboard and started skating across the floor, scooping up the potatoes. "Those two," she burst out savagely, now pulling pots and pans out of a cupboard, and Harry knew she meant Fred and George. "I don't know what's going to happen to them. I really don't. No ambition, unless you count making as much trouble as they possibly can." Mrs. Weasley slammed a large copper saucepan down on the kitchen table and began to wave her wand around inside it. A creamy sauce poured from the wand tip as she stirred. "It's not as though they haven't got brains," she continued irritably, taking the saucepan over the stove and lighting it with a further poke of her wand. "But they're wasting them, and unless they pull themselves together soon, they'll be in real trouble. I have had more owls from Hogwarts about them than the rest put together. If they carry on the way they're going, they'll end up in front of the improper use of magic office." And she jabbed her wand at the cutlery.
Cutlery.
That's where I got my words from. Mrs. Weasley jabbed her wand at the cutlery drawer, which shot open. Harry and Ron both jumped out of the way as several knives soared out of it, flew across the kitchen, and began chopping the potatoes, which had just been tipped back into the sink by the dustpan. And she goes on and on and on. Picked up her wand. Oh, it was a fake. She thought she picked up her wand, but it turned out to be a fake wand that one of the Weasley twins left lying around. She grabbed her real wand, turned around to find that the sauce on the stove was smoking. And Ron's like, let's get out of here.
Yeah, her emotions and just their mood and stuff is affecting probably how much heat she put on that. I mean, maybe it was a little more flame than she wanted. But it is really cool. It's just nonverbal magic. She's just walking around, just like poking, pointing, swishing, flicking
something
everywhere.
Coming out of her wand?
Yeah, and it's like, just... Yeah,
they can't conjure up fruit, so what kind of thing did she put on the potatoes? What was the...
Cream.
Creamy, saucy thing.
Yeah, she can.
You can't conjure up food.
No, you can't. But she's just manipulating. Whatever she's doing is just some sort of manipulation of ingredients in her home.
Yeah, the act of cutting or peeling, you don't have to do that by hand. You can just do it by swish and flick.
I mean, things are just working. I love it when we see in the movie, they're just working by themselves.
Oh, I know.
She's just set things in motion and they're all just doing
the
stuff.
The frying pan is cleaning up itself. Yeah.
Right. And then I'll come back to you. I'm going to set this in motion, set that in motion, come back over here. She's awesome.
I mean,
she's all over the place.
She's a stay-home witch.
Yeah.
So she knows her stuff in the kitchen.
She does. She is. And she's able to converse and talk, and she's processing. It's almost therapeutic for her, too. I think it's just so natural. It's so cool to see her kind of just boom, 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 moving around. And it reminds you, most of us probably, of like grandma or mom or whoever in the kitchen saying, get out. Like Ron knows. He's already been told to get out before as a younger, he's time to go, Harry. Time to go.
Yep.
Mom's.
He knows.
Yeah. Because I knew. I mean, you know how much I like to bother you in the kitchen. It's just sort of like, I don't know. You want to go in there and smell the food cooking. You want to see what's going on, what's happening. I don't know how to do any of it. So thankfully somebody is. I'm here to root you on. And you need a back massage while you're doing it. What do you need? But I remember just being like drifting around trying to either get a carrot or get something. Carrot and dip, veggie and dip. Quick little drink or something in the kitchen, and mom would get out of here. Too many things were going, right? They had too many different, they were multitasking.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, really cool scene, and she's a powerful witch.
She is, for sure. Yep. And she thinks that her oldest sons, I think she loves all of her kids, but she trusts they're adults, right? They're going to set up the table, but in fact, they're battling with the tables in the garden, and Fred and George are cheering. Ginny is laughing. It's just so cute.
Yeah.
And for them, actually, it's not a big deal, because just like the growing tongue, we muggles think, oh my gosh, they're destroying everything, or you have a permanent condition now with your tongue. But in the magic world, it's just like, no, we know how to fix it.
Yeah, just messing around. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's I think we're coming to a point here when once they set the table, and I don't know if you have notes or you have more things that you want to point
not
out here,
much,
but
nope.
But when they get to the point where Molly is sitting out there and looking at Bill, I think that might be one of your points, maybe.
Yes.
That's a pretty cute moment,
it's
too,
so
because
cute.
He's got the longer hair, doesn't he, going? And he's got he's got the earring.
Yeah, a new acquisition, probably,
Harry
guesses. Yeah.
And he had dragonhide boots. I mean, he was a stylish, just cool.
Yeah, had his own style. A rock star, basically.
Rock star, wizard. Like, people walk around like, that guy, okay. And you don't always get that feeling with Ron sometimes. I mean, later on you do, like Ron's one of the, everyone's cheering him on. Weasley is our king, all that kind of stuff. I mean, he's cool, and he finally gets to that level, but it feels like he has a lot of work to do. He has to get through a lot of insecurities early on, and I mean, that's all kids, and it's just growth and part of development, but it's so cool to see this like full form Bill Weasley step out, and you're
like,
wow,
we don't know what he's
the
like.
The Weasleys are
little.
Cool, because his dad's super nerdy, does his thing. Mom is super powerhouse. I feel like mom also is probably more cool than Arthur. Sorry, she's just awesome.
Arthur is cool.
He's cool, and I think he's cool, but I think, most of the community would be like, what, Arthur, seriously, with the muggle stuff, what are you doing? It's probably what people think about me in terms of, like, I always think at school I have colleagues who are kind of like, what do you do on the weekend? I'm like, nothing. I chill in Shell Cottage. What do you do? What do you mean, Shell? What do you, like, what? Are you not watching the local sports game? I'm not watching sports ball anymore, okay? I played sports ball. I love sports
and
ball.
And once in a while we'll go to one of the local games here. It's fun. But
yeah, used to coach sports ball, but I just have now embraced my full nerd self, and I love it. Just all that to say, it's cool to see her kind of looking at him and, just checking in on him. And you said, and I'll let you say it, like at one point, that was her baby.
Yes. So Bill, at one point, it was just the three of them, Arthur, Molly, and Bill, her first baby. And the way she just, I think, like, goes through his hair and just like, oh, Bill.
Right.
You know, do you really have to grow it out? I think you said your mom used to be like, not upset, but was like, oh.
The beard.
Do you have to grow a beard?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're her baby. And it's like.
She didn't like to see. Yeah. It's like, no. They want you to still look like a baby. Yeah. Look like they're, you know, it's like, sorry. Nope. Time to grow up.
I mean, not look like a baby, but.
They
have their own picture of you in their minds.
For years, they've seen me that way and blah, blah.
For years, they had control over your look.
Even my dad at one point was just sort of like, because he shaves still. And my little nephew, Benny, was just like, you know, asking me. He's like, Uncle Ia, he said something like, Uncle Ia, you need to shave. Like, he was just messing around in there or whatever. And then dad's like, yeah, you tell him, Benny. He needs to shave.
That's cute.
And then it's just sort of, but now they wouldn't recognize, they've never seen me without a beard. You know what I mean? Yeah. They've never. It's just.
Oh yeah, you're.
They've
yeah,
seen pictures. Nephew, they've seen yeah. pictures.
True.
So,
I've never seen you without a beard. Yeah. I mean, except for pictures.
I like my beard.
I like it too. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Mrs. Weasley loves her son the way he is. But it's just nice to think about. I think it's always cute to think about just them as a small family. They were probably very young, just you know, new parents, and then they had Bill and maybe Charlie, and then I think there is a little bit of a gap between Charlie and Percy, so they just had two kids for a little bit, and it's just, and I love seeing them with all their kids, and
right,
but it's just, I don't know, cute to think about the progression with just a small family, and then it's just growing.
And then twins popped out of nowhere.
Oh, goodness. Like, and they're like, okay, let's keep going.
Right.
It doesn't matter now anymore.
Hit that magical number 7. Gosh.
No. And they wanted a daughter. And I think sometimes Ron feels that pressure.
He does. I know.
I'm still not the daughter they wanted.
Right. Yeah,
but
I know.
That's not true. They love Ron for who he is.
Right. Right.
So.
Yep.
Before we get to the beautiful end of this chapter, real quick, let's dive into what Percy and Arthur are talking about at the dinner table. So Percy, I read the word Bertha and it said Percy and out came Percy. Percy is fanboying over Mr. Crouch. He loves him. He's so invigorated with the idea of this guy knows what he's doing and he's my
mentor.
Idol. Yes, my mentor. Mm-hmm. And I want to do a good job to impress him.
Yeah.
And he briefly mentions Bertha Jorkins. And it's odd because no one seems to be looking for her, really. There's no big. They don't make a big fuss out of it. There's no search.
Yeah, she seems to have had that reputation, too, that's kind of like she's somebody who might have gotten lost, and she typically is, I don't know how you put it, but like...
Yes, she was already really weird.
And maybe had a memory lapse or just forgot. They seem to think that, well, this is who Bertha is. Like, she'll show up when she shows up, not super worried. But then time goes on, and it's like, oh, we're starting to worry, and Ludo should probably be more worried about this, and he's not. Well, Mr. Crouch would be, is right, what Percy's kind of saying to his father.
But he's not in charge of it anymore. She is not part of his department anymore. But they were close. Percy knows that they were close. And that's why Bertha, she went to the Crouch's house to deliver a letter or something. And we've been wondering how long it's been since Barty Jr. has been freed by his mother and asked about, well, both of his parents, really. But it says in the wiki, in 1982 is when his mother... her health had deteriorated drastically, and that's when they, I think, 82
made the switch.
Wow, I think we're in 95.
It's been a long time.
4 years he's been imprisoned by his father. That's wild.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's assumed that he's dead, right?
Because they buried his mother so quickly that the polyjuice potion still hasn't worn off. So they think they buried him.
Right.
Barty Jr.
Right.
Yeah. And that's when Bertha. Yeah. So that's why Mr. Crouch also is not, I don't know, he's probably worried, but he doesn't want to draw any attention to it because he doesn't want people to investigate and find out that Bertha has been to his house and something happened, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So no one's really
no one's looking for her.
That much about her. So that's odd. And then the conversation goes to the Quidditch World Cup. Obviously, it's Ireland against Bulgaria. And I love hearing all the different teams that competed before that.
Yeah.
Scotland was beat by Luxembourg.
Right.
So we did.
England got destroyed. Wales lost, right? They all just, They were
so all the British Isles, yeah. It's just Ireland that's left. So everyone's rooting for them.
Right.
Except for Ron, he's kind of rooting for. I mean, he is rooting for Ireland, but he's also
Victor
in love
Crumb. Victor
with Crumb.
Yeah. Yeah, who wouldn't
as
be?
Of, I mean, at this point.
Yeah.
He won't be for long.
Super ironic.
Yeah. All right. And to end this chapter, I would just love to read this part where everyone is well fed. They're eating the last bit of ice cream and the scene she paints of the summer night. So it says, Mr. Weasley conjured up candles. So they're done eating dinner, basically. Mr. Weasley conjured up candles to light the darkening garden before they had their homemade strawberry ice cream. And by the time they had finished, moths were fluttering low over the table, and the warm air was perfumed with the smells of grass and honeysuckle. Harry was feeling extremely well-fed and at peace with the world as he watched several gnomes sprinting through the rose bushes, laughing madly and closely pursued by Crookshanks. It's just this peaceful little scene. And I wonder if anyone has made any artwork about this. I love when people make art about scenes that were not in the movie, that obviously in the book we don't really get a whole lot of pictures. I don't know. Maybe it is in the illustrated version of The Goblet of Fire. I'm actually not sure. This would be a beautiful picture you could include in the illustration version. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It is a really cool scene. And I think this is just neat for every time Harry goes there, we get this contrast between the Dursleys and now we're here with the Weasleys.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's so cool to see just family and what I think it's like it's what he could have.
Right.
You know? And then just to know that he's going to end up with Jenny and she's mm-hmm. so cute just running around there. I'm like, let's go.
I know. Those
awesome.
Are his actual parents-in-law.
Yeah.
Mother and father-in-law.
Right. These are all his brother-in-laws, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's just crazy.
It's so.
He's a part of this family.
Perfect. It's, I love it.
It is perfect. And I told anybody who is against Jenny and Harry, I'm out. I'm against you. Okay. Sorry. I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's cool. Okay. Beautiful chapter. And I think, you know, now we're getting to the exciting stuff, as you say. So, mm-hmm. so cool things. We get to meet some cool characters there, but then we're going to be diving in next week. We'll be, I think, right. We're heading out. Is there another filler chapter before we go, or we're going
well,
to the,
it's the Portkey.
The Portkey. God,
so
there is
we're going
another.
We're going to the Portkey. We're meeting the Diggerys.
Right.
And then we're off to the Quidditch World
right.
Cup.
And then we'll get ready for it. Okay.
So it's kind of like still an in-between chapter where they get up in the morning. They have to get to the Portkey. They meet Cedric and all that stuff.
But there's so many. I think it's the thing. Is there's so many cool chapters leading in. We haven't even got to Hogwarts. We'd normally be at Hogwarts
I
by
know.
Now. And so we're not. We have the Quidditch World Cup. And then Hogwarts is going to be like totally different this year. So. It's
it.
Just great because that variety is so well done by J.K. Rowling. I'm
yes.
just like, okay, you know, it's good. Probably why I love this book so much. All right. Hey, friends, that's all for this week. Thank you, guys. Hopefully you didn't stare too significantly at the solar eclipse this past weekend and, you know, you enjoyed yourselves. Shoot us a message if you were, you know, near and that eclipse. Also, send me a message if you got any good trivia so I can stomp Lottie next episode. Okay. Thanks for tuning in to Shout College Radio, 94.7 COZY. And we hope you'll join us in the future. We do thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons.
You just realize the alliteration, right? So in the, she does a lot of this with like Weasley,
Wizard
Wheezes, tongue, toffee.
Yes.
Whew, it's getting
fun
to me.
Fun to say, heart for not
the tongue twister, yeah.
Yep.
If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow over on social media at Fuller and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 6, The Portkey. So make sure you tune back in next time. And until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home. Sell their self-made products to school.
Sell their self-made pro.
sell their self-made joke products. For planning to sell their sales.
What is going on over there?
A lot of trouble. For planning to sell their self-made. I can't go beyond self-made then. For planning to sell their self-made bro products at school. Because they're bros. Literally.
You can change it.
No. I'm going to get it. For planning to sell their self-made joke products. That's cool. For planning to sell their self-made joke products. What if we just have you read that one line and insert it into the summary and then, because Lottie just couldn't read it.
Okay, where is it at? Show it to me.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'll highlight it.
No. It's up there. The paragraph starts with on their way and then it's planning to sell.
On their way up the stairs, Ginny and Ron explain to Harry that Fred and George have been in a lot of trouble for planning to sell their self-made joke products at school.
Awesome. Love it. For planning to sell their self-made
joke products.
The self-made joke products at school. Joke. Okay. I got it. Sorry. I'm wasting your time.
The solar eclipse will be here before we figure out this. Like, that's like darkness is going to descend on this podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.